You know, you don't need to just sit there while you're listening to the program while I talk. You can do other things. Similar to when you're listening to music, you can clean the house while you're listening. Same thing here. As a matter of fact, a lot of people tell me when they're listening to this show, it's a great time to clean the toilet.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
And when you clean a toilet, always use a circular motion.
Whatever.
Well, it works better. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, oddly enough. Well. Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam. It's always a pleasure to be with you, whether it is or not, something that you say. Always try to be polite. Always try to realize there are other people in the room besides yourself, not as smart and not as intelligent, but still there are other people in the room. Respect them and go with it. How you doing? Good to be with you. I'm Ron Van Dam. I do this show every single weekday. And because it's internet radio podcast crap, you can listen any time of day. It's not like, oh my God, I missed the Ron show. I love him so much. I missed him. I missed the show. Is it 8 o'clock? Oh, is it 8:30? Oh, I missed the best part of his show. Oh no. You don't have to do that because you don't. Because you can listen any time. You can listen to a show from 2 years ago on this website, NewEnglandBroadcasting.com. We're also supported by the Podbean thing. That they store all our stuff. They're our server, whatever that means. The person that brings you the coffee, I guess. I don't know what the server is. We're also on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Podcast 1, 2. I don't know what the hell these things are. I don't know. We're all over the place, and that's fine. And as much as we emanate our thing out of the Boston area, I'm sorry I'm stretching because I am so freaking tired. Oh, man. We're heard throughout the country and selected syndicated radio stations throughout the country as well, and a couple of people overseas, I understand. More than a couple, and thank you so much. I don't know how you understand what I'm talking about. You must speak English, because I don't speak your language. English is all I know. No, a little bit of French from junior high school. I took French for 3 years, and as a result, nothing. There's nothing. I thought I was going to marry a French woman. Didn't happen. Wanted to. Never met one. Why? Because I'm not in France. How about that idea? Anyway, how are you? Good to see you. Yeah. Well, tonight is the third presidential debate. And if you're listening to this at night, then the third presidential debate is on right now. And it's, you know what? It's, I'm just so, I know you're sick of it. I'm sick of it. We're all sick of it. I wish this whole thing was over. Although, when the whole thing is over, I think it's still going to be problems. Because there's so much hatred involved. Oh, and I'm getting into it. I'm hating, too. I am also hating. I don't understand the people that don't think the way that I do. Actually, I never did. It has nothing to do with the political season. But it's, I broke it down. See, I am going to vote for Hillary Clinton. I'm not a registered Democrat or Republican, or I'm an independent, but I can't vote for Schmuck Orange Face no matter what, because I have still an ounce of dignity in my body. And I do believe that looking at the record of Hillary Clinton, as much as she is extreme establishment politically, Donald Trump is extreme establishment business-wise. So they're both power hungry. They're both skewed. But Hillary Clinton does have a history, indeed, I've checked, maybe you haven't, has a history of compassion with people, the middle class, advancing the plight of women, all types of civil rights, respects cultural groups. That respect thing, and she's got a track record of doing really, really good stuff, not just for political reasons because she's running for president. She's done that all of her freaking life. So, I mean, I do have respect in that regard, even though she's made some horrible judgments. If you're going to do stuff for a long time, you're going to make mistakes, and they're going to be on your record. Trump, there's just no arguing. A misogynistic idiot, a pig, an abuser, an egomaniac. The man could absolutely be diagnosed with tons of different psychological problems, including delusional, fabrication, believing his own lies. It's some kind of hatred for women or using them as objects. It's never changed. It's proven and it's never changed. I can't go there. I can't go there because I still value myself as a functional human being. But beyond all of that, Hillary Clinton does have knowledge. You may argue ill-used, but has knowledge. She's traveled the world in her position as Secretary of State. She was a New York senator, and for every term, reelected. And even Donald Trump is quoted as saying that he has great respect for her, and she's one of the greatest senators of all time. He said this. He said this at a point back then. So, okay, I'm going to go with that. Here's my take on those of you that are staunch Trump supporters. I get it, because you're not so much supporting him as much as you seethingly loathe Hillary Clinton and any Clinton name whatsoever. I understand that. I get that. What you don't understand as a Trump supporter is that you're supporting somebody who is the antithesis of what you're looking for. The man has become a political windbag more than politicians are. He will promise you anything you want to hear. He is delusional in thinking that he can make the changes that he thinks he can make. He hasn't thought them through. A president can't do all the stuff that Trump has claimed that he will do. He can't do it. He has alienated every member of Congress and the House, whether they be Republican or Democrat. He's knocked down his own party. That may be well and good for you revolutionary people, but it's not well and good when the guy perhaps becomes president and has to do the things that he said he wanted to do when he was running. He won't be able to do any of them because his own party will hate his guts. He has maligned them. His biggest problem, and our biggest problem, is his anger and revenge. That is a psychological danger. He is like two heartbeats away from losing his mind. That, or he's calculatingly the biggest bastard to walk the earth, and I think it's a combo of the two. Here's my criticism of you if you're a staunch Trump supporter. Those people who Trump referred to as Trump being able to shoot somebody in the middle of New York City and not lose one supporter. If you're one of those people, here's my message to you. You're a lovely person. You raise your family really well. You work hard. But I've got to tell you, you are blinded by the light. You are being taken. You are being manipulated and played off of. Your intelligence may be great, but you're not thinking clearly. You don't understand the way government works, and I know you want to change the way government works, but you can't do it with this guy because he doesn't know how to do it. You have to have an understanding for government in any country, in any system. You have to have an understanding of the workings of it. You have to have an understanding of the Constitution of which this country is built upon. You have to have an understanding of the indeed respect that this country gets around the world. Do you know that every single country on this planet is looking toward these elections taking place right now because the stability of the world depends on the stability of the United States? That's how impactful we are to every single country in the world. And that's why they care so much about this election. It doesn't have to do with the system. It has to do with how great this country is right now and how much this country is respected right now. And Mr. Trump thinks that he's going to gain more respect throughout the world. It will have the opposite effect. It will make this country your crazy brother-in-law, as opposed to that person in the family whom you respect and revere. So what I'm saying to you, if you're one of those staunch Trump supporters, I'll vote for him no matter what he does. He could kill my sister and I'll still vote for him. If you're that kind of person, I'm not putting you down, but you're ignorant and blind to what's going on, to how a country, how government is run, what it takes to achieve in this country on a government level. And if you want to change that, Trump is the last person that can do it. The last one. The only person that could do it is someone that brings everybody together. Trump divides. And that's all I'm saying. I don't want to go any further with this because I'm not a preachy kind of guy. And I'm not putting you down, Trump supporters. I'm really not. I'm just telling you, if you just looked into it deeper and had an understanding of the way things work, you would get it. I would rather that you'd vote for no one than vote for an egomaniac, dangerous, dictator, misogynistic blowhard. Thank you so much for your time, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's move on, shall we?
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Okay. Hey, I'm watching TV last night, which I do almost every night because I'm a kid vid guy. Yeah, I keep my ears open. I don't listen to what people say. I investigate things. I watch. I listen. I do things. I'm on the move, baby. I'm cleaning toilets across this country. There's a commercial that comes on TV for this drug called Vibersi, V-I-B-E-R-Z-I. Now, don't sue me for this, Vibersi people. But I listen to things. And this made no sense to me. I'm not going to play the commercial because I'm not going to bore you with it. But in this commercial, Vibersi, I think it's called. It relieves abdominal pain. Who hasn't had abdominal pain? Raise your hand if you haven't had abdominal pain. Look, nobody's raising their hand. We've all had abdominal pain. That's when you eat something that creates a lot of gas and it builds up in your stomach and you feel like you're going to explode. You get dizzy. You can't breathe. It's awful. It's caused usually by the foods that you eat or something that you've eaten that is your system is just saying, no, I'm not going to put up with this. It's painful and horrible. It can also be something that is quite uncomfortable in life where this happens every time you eat something or you don't know when it's going to happen, and it's an awful thing. So this Verbrucy or Vibrucy or whatever the relieves abdominal pain. And they say, a wonderful night's sleep. And you can go to that ball game and not have to look for a toilet. And there's that of comfort and relieves discomfort from abdominal pain. And that's the first half of the commercial. And it's always lovely. Somebody's running through a field, not bothering to pick flowers, just so damn happy that they're just running through a field, which apparently is the happiest thing a person can do. If you really want to be happy, put your shoes on, get some pants going, and run through an open field, because that apparently is the epitome of life. It's true. That's right. A lot of people want to climb Mount Everest or go parasailing or jump out of a plane and go skydiving. I'm just jumping out of a plane probably isn't really pleasurable, but I mean skydiving, that would be pleasurable. All that kind of stuff. They love bungee jump, all the excitement of that. No, you haven't understood the complexities and enjoyment of life until you run through an open field without shoes even, because in an open field full of flowers, the ground is perfectly soft. It's like heaven. It's heaven. That's the first half of the commercial. The second half of the commercial, they rattle off rather quickly all the warnings, all the things that can occur if you take this drug. Now, you expect that there would be some problems, like maybe headaches or something like that, or maybe a muscle ache or something, or you know, if you get a leg cramp, contact your doctor immediately. If you get, if your penis is hard for more than 4 hours, call it, you know, all that stuff. I get that. But here's the drug that relieves abdominal pain, and the number one side effect from this drug is it causes abdominal pain. And I heard this. And because I have the Comcast, you can always go back and listen to it again thing, which I use frequently, because at my age, I'm starting to wonder if I'm hearing things correctly, because that it could be a result of, like, now I am over 25. Well, considerably over 25, but let's just say I'm over 25, because that is true. I am over 25. You start to question what you're hearing. Did they just say that? Wait a minute. That's so absurd. Could they have actually said that? So now I can actually rewind on my live TV and see it. And yes, they did. Within 10 seconds of itself, the announcer says, yes, it relieves abdominal pain. Side effect, it causes abdominal pain. And I'm just, what? How can you possibly? Now, of course, it doesn't cause abdominal pain to everybody that takes this drug. Otherwise, why would they take this drug at all? But if it's a possibility that in relieving my abdominal pain, it can cause abdominal pain, then I'm kind of thinking to myself, what the hell's going on here? I'm taking a drug that stops it, yet I'm taking a drug that can cause it. How can the drug cause it if it's supposed to stop it? Now, even if the drug was taken in order to cause abdominal pain for those that may want it and don't have enough of abdominal pain, you'd be surprised if it actually stopped abdominal pain. You can't have a drug that does both things opposite at the same time. Either it cancels itself out or it blows your freaking mind. So I started listening to other drug commercials, and they are very similar in their claims. I think it's called Balsama, and I've played this, and they actually sponsored the show at one point, this drug, and it's for people apparently that can't sleep or something. But one of the side effects is not being able to sleep. And you can't say that. You can't be a rational human being, try to sell me something that relieves something but causes it as a side effect, perhaps. It's like, well, this stuff didn't work. I took it to fall asleep, and it kept me up all night. Well, that can happen. Well, what do you mean that can happen? It says on the bottle that it's for a good night's sleep. Yeah, but it may cause you to stay up all night.
What? What?
So, if you have abdominal pain and you want to relieve it, take this drug. Problem is, it could cause abdominal pain too. Hey, you can't, so you don't know if the drug isn't working or if it's caused the problem that you thought you were getting rid of. There's no way of knowing. Perhaps it just doesn't work. Or perhaps it caused the problem that you were trying to get rid of. A technicality, huh? That's a good one. I don't know. Can you return it? You can return it if it doesn't work. Can you return it if you have a side effect that makes it not? I don't know. All right. I don't know what to do anymore. Just confused about everything, I guess. We'll be right back after these words.
When you reach for a beer, what are you looking for? The finest malts, grains, and hops. An artisan ale that represents a modern take on traditional brewing techniques that master brewers have refined and treasured for years. A true beer drinking experience. Or like most of us, are you just looking to get fucked up on the cheap? Well, if you're like the rest of us, congratulations, your beer is here. It's Falkenhalter. It's not a great beer. It's not even a good beer. It's a beer that's $4 a case, and it's strong enough to melt the chrome off a trailer hitch. So kiss your liver goodbye and say hello to Falkenhalter. It's beer.
Yes, it is beer. That's a good point. Okay, we're going to talk to our first guest right now. And we're going to talk about policing, which is a topical subject at this time of our lives in our society.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Kevin J. Strom joins us. He's PhD, Director of the Policing Research Program at RTI International. And we are talking about better policing, about the data that can make cities safer. When you gather certain data, it gives you figures in order to solve problems. And I guess that's what we're talking about. So what is the National Crime Statistics Exchange?
Well, that program, which is sometimes referred to as NCSX, is really a transitional program for moving ultimately all the agencies, all the law enforcement agencies in the country to what's known as incident-based reporting. Right. Some agencies already participate, but this is really a movement to get all the largest departments and then a sample of other departments to that stage.
Okay, so what we're doing is we're kind of normalizing all the policies across the country, or is that the goal?
Yes, that's one of them, is standardization. This is a program that's been around for a number of years, but it really hasn't had the momentum to get especially the largest agencies to participate in certain states. So standardization will be a great help in terms of benchmarking different agencies and understanding what's happening at the state level and at the national level.
So when we call into our police departments, this would make the response more efficient? I guess that's the goal?
It could. It certainly could in terms of agencies tracking the same thing and calling it the same thing. Also, for a state to be able to understand what's happening across the entire state. And then at a national level, for us to understand what's happening in different cities and how that compares to things happening across other parts of the country.
Okay. Now, these are in regards to 911 calls, I assume.
Well, what we're talking about with NCSX are really crime incident reports.
Okay.
So 911 calls are
part of it.
Earlier on in the process. Yeah. That's when someone contacts the police for a variety of reasons.
Right.
And then a crime incident, it was what happens when the police show up and determine that a crime has actually occurred and then write up an incident report.
Okay. And what are the results of actually putting this all together?
Well, some of the results are that ultimately people are going to have better decisions to make to evaluate certain policies. to evaluate certain changes in our criminal justice system, and to have more transparency about what's happening, you know, on the streets across the country.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, transparency seems to be a real buzzword these days when it comes to law enforcement.
It really does. It's you know, you hear it in a lot of different forums. I think it's important, but it's important for people to also understand, you know, what's being provided to them, and to provide the public with tools to use the information so that people are using that information in a responsible way.
Yeah. So this makes the public a little bit more understanding and connected to its police departments, I assume, as well.
Yeah, I think it has the potential to do that. It's not easy moving this number of agencies. There's over 18,000 law enforcement agencies in this country, which I think is sometimes something people don't realize. So it's a huge number of agencies. Many of those are small departments.
Yeah.
But across the board, mid-sized, large agencies, it's not an easy task to move an agency to a new type of reporting.
No question about it. I mean, sometimes I have a police scanner because I find it fascinating, and I listen to Chicago, and it's like, my God, there's a lot happening there. I mean, you talk about incident reports. I mean, they must be spitting them out every second.
The volume for a place like Chicago is really staggering. Yeah. You know, we were talking about calls for service, which are the 911 calls. For a place like Chicago, that would be in the many millions of calls a year, and then hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of incident reports. So it's really a staggering number, because we're not just talking about the most serious crimes here.
Right.
We're talking about a range of other types of crimes and other types of incidents that occur that the police have to deal with.
Yeah. So this tool is being analyzed and used as we speak?
The tool that we've developed that focuses on calls for service, which are the 911 calls, is being used by some police departments.
Yeah.
It's a tool that we provide. It's what, you know, it's referred to as an open source tool.
Right.
So we are working with departments to use it, and I think they're having a lot of success in the benefits they get out of it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Anything that helps, helps. Where do we go for more information?
Well, you can go to our website. RTI.www.rti.org, and you should be able to find more information there. So, you know, we look forward to people doing that, and they can certainly contact someone in our policing program if they also have questions.
Wonderful. He's Dr. Kevin Strom. Thank you so much for your time with us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, very interesting. Now, did you know that yesterday was World Menopause Day? Did you know that? How could you know something like that? You didn't. I can't believe you didn't know that. Yeah, every day and every month and every week, some kind of disease or some type of concern takes the forefront. So yesterday was World Menopause Day, where we pause to honor menopause or something, and but apparently, isn't it odd that menopause has nothing to do with men? Why isn't it called women pause? Seriously, think about it. But it's not. It's menopause because I guess men have to pause and say, thank goodness I don't get that. Although men get other things that women don't get. Women get a lot of things that men don't get. Women's bodies, they may have put them through the ringer. Great being a woman, but man, body-wise, you go through the ringer, don't you? Ouch. Anyway, menopause is something that women apparently don't talk about. They go through it without really discussing it much with other women, and certainly not with their doctors, especially when it has to do with the sexual connotation, the lack of sexual drive, or perhaps the pain of intercourse. Yeah, I said intercourse. So I thought it was important to talk about, as yesterday was World Menopause Day. Happy birthday. Let's find out about that right now. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Patel. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. The doctor is an OBGYN, Women's Healthcare Wellness, and she joins us now to talk about World Menopause Day, which was yesterday, doctor, so we'll talk about that now.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about that. What do we need to know about? Is there a stigma around menopause? I didn't know there was a stigma.
I think the biggest stigma is the whole aging process. Women feel that as they go through it, it's just something that's accepted.
Yes.
And the changes that occur to their body, there's not much that they can do about.
Right.
So if they are in menopause and they're having their changes, hot flashes, feeling irritated, they're emotional, they're angry, agitated, maybe, you know, low sex drive, losing urine, basically incontinence, I think a lot of them are afraid to discuss it, or they feel that their partners and their spouses think that they're crazy. And I think that's like sort of the big thing, that they don't want everybody to feel that they're crazy.
Well, nobody wants to feel that they're crazy, but they do know that, that these are possibilities, don't they? No?
They understand that these are changes, but I think what a lot of women don't understand is that there are treatment options out there, that these are aging processes, but that they don't have to accept them, that they can make the changes. So if vaginal dryness is occurring and there's painful sex or they have a low sex drive, there's something out there. There's a CO2 laser, for instance, that can actually remedy some of those symptoms.
Yeah.
So women are afraid to discuss anything that deals with intimacy. I think the stigma is not around hot flashes or mood swings necessarily, but the stigma is around not being able to have their intimacy as they did prior.
And that goes for men, too, although they don't get menopause. But at the same time, that is one subject that is not discussable as well, certainly not to their peers and certainly not to their doctor. And you're right, because I guess it's embarrassing. It's an admission of not being at the top of your game. Is that what it would be? Why does one not discuss those intimate things?
I think at the end of the day, it's exactly what you said. You're not the top of your game, because it basically means you're aging. The question is, does it mean you've lost interest in your partner? Not necessarily. Some of the changes that occur in the body makes a woman lose her interest, and that doesn't mean that she cares or loves her partner less.
Right.
But because of some of the hormonal changes, there's almost a fear of intimacy because of the anticipated discomfort, the dryness, the lack of enjoyment. And this is something that they won't discuss. Sometimes many women will admit to the fact that they'll try their best just to do the act with their partner just because they want to keep their partners happy.
Yes.
You say men go through the same thing, which is true, but you know, in the media, Viagra is very well and easily spoken of. So men know that if they want to discuss it with their doctors, they can talk about it. But women don't even realize that there are modalities out there to make their sexual health improved. You know, with CO2 modalities, they don't even understand that there's such a thing as out there
well,
to help them.
Yeah, but even the, I mean, Viagra doesn't help the libido. It just, you know, helps the physical attribute.
Right, the functionality.
So even that is difficult for a man to admit to oneself or even to discuss. And it's interesting that you bring this up and that we are discussing it, because there's really, other than you talking about it here and obviously advising to talk to your doctor, there's no route for a person to personally discuss this at all. I wish you would go on television, national television, and just tell everybody, are these things happening to you? It's okay. But we don't hear that unless we do that personal link with our physician, and that doesn't happen a lot.
Oh, and it's more than that. You know, some of the changes, you know, Western medicine teaches us doctors to stick with what's through pharmaceutical companies and whatnot.
Yeah.
So sometimes not all doctors are educated in the fact that hormone replacement is out there for both men and for women.
Uh-huh.
So to seek that doctor out is sometimes difficult. And that is just one aspect of the treatments, you know, when it comes to menopause for both men and for women. But, you know, for women, there's obviously multiple. But for, like you said, for men, there are hormone replacement. The question is, which physician can they go to? And they can start with their own primary care doctor and see if they're well-versed in replacement. But if they're not, then they actually need to seek out maybe a doctor that's well-versed in bioidentical hormone therapy for both women and for men.
Right. How consequential is it to psychologically feel better about yourself in this regard?
I think it's very important. I mean, when we don't feel positive about ourselves. Uh-huh. We doubt our workplace. We doubt how we, you know, communicate with our children, our families, our mm-hmm. spouses. So that positive self, you know, positive reinforcement is the key to empowerment. And if we are not really empowered within, then how can we reflect positively to everything around us?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, if you accept sort of the negatives that are happening to your body, chances are you're not maximizing your quality of life and you're right. not maximizing your potential.
Right. So your message is that there is a way to enhance this and to not have it to be a concern. There are routes to take besides just discussing.
Yes, there are. That's definitely my message. My message to all women and even men is that you have to be able to seek out. If the changes are happening, you just can't sit there and say, I accept it. There is stuff out there. So you just need to seek out a doctor, go on some websites, learn about the different modalities that are out there, and really take everything every negative and positive that you may hear online, you just need to do your backup research.
Yeah.
So don't accept everything at its sort of word. For instance, for hormone therapy, every time women discuss hormone therapy, they're very scared of it because of the negative connotations to
right.
it. But at the end of the day, if you actually just learn a little bit about it and adjunctive treatments with hormone therapy, they can really be a game changer for most women.
Yeah.
And men, because at the end of the day, it's a couple thing. It's an intimacy thing.
Yeah. And this is a quick procedure, you say? It's not involved?
The Core Intima, which is by Cinnaron Candela, is a very simple, safe procedure. It's done in a doctor's office. It takes about 5 minutes to do. It's virtually painless. It's a laser treatment with very little downtime. Most of my women refrain from intercourse for a few days. And when they resume again, if they're doing it for the whole dryness and irritation, they'll obviously be hesitant, but not because of physical, but more of a emotional psychological
wow.
reasons.
It sounds simple. Just a few days, that's your only downtime? That's pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, no, just a few days. I mean, and actually not downtime as in you can't work. The only
right.
downtime is that I recommend no intercourse for about
right.
2 to 4 days. But
yeah.
other than that, they just bounce back up. It's like a lunchtime
yeah.
treatment for most women. If you are having stress incontinence or you're having a lot of vaginal dryness
yeah.
and chronic irritation,
yeah.
not feeling quite normal down there, as I call it,
yes.
There is, and you're afraid of doing hormones, and this is a great alternative option.
I mean, if you're in that situation, waiting 2 to 4 days is probably a lot less than you're waiting otherwise, I would assume. I mean,
no, I mean, the treatments are about a month apart for three yeah. treatments, and
uh-huh.
within a course of a 3-month time frame, the quality of life of a woman has changed tremendously.
Good, good. Well, I learned something I didn't know, and that's good. So where do I go for more? Where do I go for more information?
There's a website. Mm-hmm. It's coreintima.com. So it's coreintima.com.
Okay, that's INTIMA. Okay, great.
Yes,
hey,
correct.
Doctor, thank you very much. If I were a woman, I would want you as my doctor. I guess that's a compliment.
Thank you. It was
okay.
a pleasure being on your show. Thank you.
Bye bye. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Everything you wanted to know about things you didn't know about, you got that happening now. We're just about out of time, ladies and gentlemen, so I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.